Good morning. Again, happy Father's Day. I thought it was important to mention that we have our Father in heaven. And what a day to come together on Father's Day to lift his name up and praise. I don't know, I just feel like maybe we all give him a little praise offering this morning. A little clapping, a little hollering. Can we do that? Amen. Praise God. You're not going to see anything on the screen today. Tough. I am the worst, I admit it. This is just how it works for me. Friday, when I'm supposed to have all this in, I am not even ready. But today we're going to talk about compromise. It's been on my heart for a couple weeks. The title I gave was Compromise, What's the Big Deal? And today, many extol the virtues of compromise, especially in politics. There are some historical compromises that were made to avoid conflicts. They were made to avoid wars, and they were made to prevent the loss of life. But is compromise always a good idea? You know, compromising can also mean accepting standards that are lower than desirable, or forsaking fundamental beliefs or virtues. Is to do something against our principles. Now, I've always hated the word principles because it's always that, you always see it in arguments. You know, it's usually the person's in the wrong that's going to dig their heels in. Well, it's about the principle of it all. And I just don't like that. But in this case, principles is the very core values, our moral standards, basically what we are going to make the decisions in life based on. So we're not going to do, compromise our beliefs or virtues or to do something against our principles. These are cases where compromising is wrong. Okay, so what is compromise? What does compromise look like? How do we know? Hopefully today we will figure these things out. But if you look around today, changes are taking place in our society. They trouble many of us as we watch the moral degradation that's going on around us. The old standards of decency, morality, and good character have been cast aside. There has been a lot of basically an all-out assault on those standards as well as those who would adhere to those. Now, what was once vile or repugnant or even reprehensible is now considered acceptable as normal, and some even call these new behaviors good. That which was once considered moral, decent, and respectable is now maligned and hated, and those not willing to compromise on those standards are also hated and called names. So if someone compromises themselves or their belief, they do something which damages their reputation for honesty, for loyalty, and their moral principles. So it is a pretty big deal. To avoid compromise, so this is the tough part. To avoid compromise is to maintain integrity at all times. And who could possibly do that? Show of hands. Nobody. Good. The idea here is that when we sacrifice our integrity, we compromise our very reputation, our honesty, loyalty, and moral principles, but also we have to keep in mind to maintain this integrity, it has to be regardless of any consequences. And quite often the consequences steer people to compromise. You know, I want to be liked. I don't want to be called a name. I want to be part of a group. You name it. So doing so, by maintaining this integrity, we don't only show respect for those around you, we show respect for the important people to you. We show respect to ourselves, and we also show respect to the one who we claim we belong to. We are talking about the integrity of your core values, which are the beliefs you have to control the decisions you make. That's what it is. It's the basis. It's the springboard in which every decision is made. And it is, it's a character issue. It really is. The thing here is we weigh so many decisions every day, and too often we go the path of least resistance. The beauty of being a person of faith in Christ is that from Scripture, we have the roadmap for success. And it's based on nothing that we can contrive of our own, but upon the very Word of God. Plus, in that Word, we have the promises of being equipped to do so. You know, clearly, I want to make sure, clearly, zero compromise in life is not the concept here. There are good times to compromise. These are used to foster trust, accountability, consistency, and security in relationships. There are times when compromise is good and right. Compromise is a basic skill required in marriage, for example. There are other situations as well when keeping the peace is better than getting one's own way. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, we're all hearing this. Good. We will be focusing today on the dangers of compromise, though. We're talking about the dangerous compromises, where stakes are pulled up and boundaries are rearranged, okay, according to peer pressure, to today's cultural influence, or our own individual rebellion. It's when we dilute, play down, or excuse unhealthy, unproductive, or even corrupt behavior. There's a lot of that today. For the record, this is just me. This is a Larryism. This is in my personal experience. So if you want to talk to me about it later, go ahead. It doesn't matter. But for the record, according to Larry, displayed behavior is only a symptom of an infection of a deeper issue. Okay? Some would say and have said, I don't see what the big deal is, or simply, it's no big deal. If you're a parent, you've heard that. Right, fathers? Never? Just me? Okay, well, in my house, I've heard that. And so we're going to look at a few things just for fun. So let's take a look at taking out the garbage. Is it a big deal to leave the lid off the trash can? How about when mowing the lawn? Is it a big deal if the mowed passes aren't straight? Or if you leave a couple mohawks out in the middle? How about when a cashier gives you too much change by mistake and you don't return it? Yeah, this is one of my favorites. How about omitting a small detail in your storytelling so you don't look so bad, or so the other person in the story looks worse than you? Is it no big deal to gossip? Is it no big deal to backbite or speak harshly to others? Obviously, this list is a micro sampling of the no big deal program. And these of themselves aren't immediately devastating. But in the Marsh House, the reply to these types of arguments or attempts to rationalize this behavior was this. If it's no big deal, it shouldn't be a big deal to do the opposite. If it is not a big deal to do, then it should be no big deal to not do, and vice versa. If you cannot be trusted with the little things, then how can anyone expect to be trusted with more things or bigger things? You may say it is no big deal for the small compromises of value. It may actually be a lot more convenient, as a matter of fact. I'm telling you today, and hear me, the spirit of compromise is aggressive. It's very aggressive in its efforts, and it is never satisfied. A little here and a little there, and soon it amounts to something. This is something I heard many times growing up. And of course, growing up, I didn't realize it was kind of hijacked from Scripture. But it was used for me, basically, to get little Larry to basically get with the program. But its origin comes from Isaiah 28:10. It says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." Now, this prophecy of Isaiah is accusing the people of Israel of taking or of treating the word of the Lord just like any other message. They took the word of the Lord far too lightly. Now, I know some may be thinking that, you know, I may be blowing this a little out of proportion because I'm talking about garbage can lids and whatnot. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But the point being made today is these things are a big deal. It's all a big deal. In a person's daily life, we do a tremendous amount of little things. These things may be considered at the time. They may not be considered at that time, or if ever. We do, now this is a Yogi Berra here. We do more little things daily than we do big things, right? Duh. But here's a thought for your consideration. Big things are a culmination of many little things. I'll let that settle on you. Mind blown, right? Big things are a culmination of all the little things. So are the little things a big deal? Riddle me this. When is a no big deal a big deal? Or when is a compromise an all-out rejection? You know, acting as if it's not that big of a deal is compromising the big deal. You've already compromised the big deal because we're not going to take care of the little things. The big things don't come around. Because what's the big thing? The culmination of the little things. In Matthew 25:23, says, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" Do you see that the master is happy when this servant was faithful with the little things, the no big deals? And it's not that he's just happy and pleased sitting in his office, you know, overlooking the, you know, the business of God's work or of his vineyard or whatever this example here is. No, he's happy. He is well pleased because the servant has been faithful. And because of his faithfulness, not only does he get more, because now he's ready for more, he wants the servant to come join him in the celebration of this event. You have now proven yourselves. You have now made yourselves available for me to do more with you. Now, it never says the master ever left this guy alone. He was just there watching, providing all the instruments and the tools. As anyone that's ever managed a group of people know, that you're really not bossing people around. You're equipping them to succeed. So when they succeed, are you not pleased? I know I am. I'm pleased with my employees when they actually step up and do at least the bare minimum, right? You showed up to work and you did some things. Good job. Now maybe we'll do a little more. It's not about perfection, people, clearly. It's about being mindful. And that word is so muddled down and muddied up. Let's just go back to my favorite, the word considerate. It's not about perfection. It's about being considerate. To actually take into consideration the choices as if they were going to amount to something. Not to trivially or thoughtlessly go about these decisions we make. The Jewish nation did not take their decisions very seriously in Isaiah, and there were consequences coming which they didn't see. And by the way, they were very harsh, because they took the word of God so lightly. God was not happy. The opposite of the pleased master. This is how you and I, we carve out our character. It's not being, this is from Aaron. I was teasing him earlier. whole message is based on Aaron, by the way. It's about being the thermometer in the room and not the thermostat. See, the thermometer is the one being affected by its surroundings, and the thermostat is the one setting the environment. Thank you, Aaron. Today's message, as you've heard Pastor Jim use this a lot, this is the reflection test, but it's you staring back at you. When you see yourself as you are seen, what you, yourself, look like, not how you see others. This is the test today. Am I faithful with the little things? Am I easily compromised by just saying it's no big deal? Am I compromising the big deal that God has for me because I'm not willing to take care of the little things that He's given me already? You know, we've heard the messages lately, right? What's the difference between a test and a temptation? The temptation is to lead you away. It may be the very same situation. It's the test that is showing you your character, because God already knows. If we are to take a look at Daniel and his friends, now Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the food offered to them by the Babylonians. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself." Now some commentaries would call that a compromise, but I call it resolve. There's a difference, because he didn't compromise his relationship with God. He resolved the issue that could cause conflict between him and the Father. Either way, he worked out for a 10-day test of veggies and water for a diet, and it was a test to see if they would actually look healthier, not too wimpy. You know, we didn't want the officials to get in trouble here, and it worked. The prophet Daniel's three fellow Babylonian captives, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were threatened with being thrown into a fiery furnace. We know that story. They were threatened if they would not compromise. Not compromise their obedience to God's commandments by worshiping the gold image of Nebuchadnezzar. And that, if you want to look that up later, that's Daniel 3:18. Indeed, they were thrown into the furnace because they wouldn't compromise. But because of that, God miraculously protected them. The point here is the resolve to be faithful to God. It's the resolve. Resolve is a character issue. In certain matters, compromise is bad. God is clear. He does not condone compromise concerning His commands. In Deuteronomy 5:32, it says, "Be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left." I love this particular passage because I've used it a million times. If I've used it once in dealing with juveniles that were within the drug rehabilitation for one means or another, they got there. Anyway, it's like they all would show up to this Bible study, but they all had the worldly thinking still. They understood there was a God, or at least they said they did. But it's like they all fell down time and time again. And when they fell down, they went crazy. They went to the left or to the right. And I tell them, look, if you are following Christ and you fall down, don't go to the left or the right. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, put a Band-Aid on the scraped knee, and keep going in the same direction. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be things that trip us up. Again, getting back to, we're not perfect, but we do not turn to the left or to the right because we are mindful of what God wants us to do. Of course, that requires some knowledge, some relationship, you know, what we've been talking about here since I've been coming here anyway. Maybe I got a different message. I don't know. That's the one I took out of here. So We also want to look at Psalm 119:3. This is kind of I love this one because it kind of supports the thing. The first one is like, kind of a warning. Don't do this. But Psalm 119:3, it says, joyful are those who do not compromise with evil, and they walk in his paths. So not only does it tell you, hey, this is good. You're going to be good. You'll be on the right path. You're going the right direction. You haven't compromised. You will be joyful because you're walking on my path. Now, concerning matters that God has addressed. Now, I remember first time hearing it just point blank like this was Pastor Lee, and he just said, we do not negotiate. We do not bargain, and we do not compromise concerning the matters of God. God is holy. His ways are right. He is good, and his ways are life. There is a line not to be crossed, and there are situations when compromise is evil. It's just flat out evil. Now we're going to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and verse 20, and this is Jesus speaking to the church of Thyatira. It says, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. Now, I've been through a few studies in this particular verse, and everyone wants to focus on Jezebel. But what I want to realign your thought process today is actually, Jesus goes on to say that he is giving Jezebel time to repent, and also those that are following Jezebel time to repent. He's talking to the church. You have compromised. This is the problem I have with you, because you're allowing this to go on within the house of my Father. You, I have this against you. You tolerate that. You know, I love the word tolerate because it can mean anything today. It's been hijacked by the modern cultural agenda. I mean, tolerate means this. You tolerate me, and I'll tolerate you as long as you think like me. That's not tolerate. Tolerate in this particular application means compromise. You have compromised the standards of the house of worship, and you have allowed this evil in there, and it is taking those that are loved by God away from him. This I have against you. He's not even talking about Jezebel or the problems that are going on. He's talking about why they're allowed. We have heard many messages lately about temptation. We have heard, I think it was Pastor Henry, gave us the three ways in which we are tempted in 1 John 2:16. It says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, here's something I want you to give a think. Temptation gets a bad rap. I see Jim's head's tilted.
Oh, yeah? I've been preaching on temptation.
It does get a bad rap, right? He's laughing. Temptation is normal. We are all tempted. Jesus was tempted. Temptation is not evil. It is normal. It is part of life. It is what you do with that temptation that determines whether it is normal or sinful. Compromise is the thing that we are to be repulsed by. Temptation will lead to compromise unless we are diligent in our resolve to remain steadfast in our faith. As I said earlier, compromise is an aggressive foe, but he's not like a blast furnace in the face. Okay? I love that one. No, he uses a subtle approach. He's a true predator. We aren't tempted to compromise by the outright or wholesale abandonment of God the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. Compromise whispers in our ears. comforting us with soft yet confident words, telling us that we can have our sweet temptation and keep Jesus too. Come on, it's no big deal. You're good. So when is compromise appropriate and when is it not? This is a good rule of thumb. You can say that compromise is okay on things of preference. But compromise is not okay on the things of principles. I have two short lists that may help you. First list, it's okay to compromise on the color of church chairs. Okay. It's okay to compromise on what family vehicle you drive. It is okay to compromise on what diner you're going to eat lunch at today. List number two, not okay to compromise. Values and the standards of those values. It's not okay to compromise the essentials of the Christian faith, the gospel. It is not okay to compromise the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I think from here you can muster your own extensive list if you feel you must have a list. I believe you will agree that it is basically meaningless to know of, to speak about the truth of Scripture and not live out those truths. If you are not living out those truths, there are compromises in your life. And those compromises were generated by temptations. Most of the time, I find those temptations are not willing to give effort or more worried about being convenient than being right. Just saying. God is not expecting perfection. You've heard it from me once, and I will say that for the rest of my life. God is not expecting perfection. This message isn't about perfection. Nor is God shocked when we fall short. There is one thing I know, one thing I guarantee. I know what God expects from us. Our best. No more, no less. Can we give Him our best efforts? I know I can do better. We can give more of our time to foster a better relationship with the one that's actually given us the opportunity to do so. And by the way, it has nothing to do with deserving, thank God. Hey people, we cannot resist the temptation of compromise solely on our own, not by our strength, nor by our efforts. I think it'd be a good time for the music ministry to come up. In John 16:13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And then He will declare to you the things that are to come." See, we face the same issues as any other believer, choosing whether to give in to compromise or not. In the moment that we ponder that compromise, we must listen to the urging of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit is constant. It is the nudging of the Spirit, which is the conviction on our hearts. And that conviction, that nudge, we all too often argue with, more so than we'd like to admit on a daily basis. Ask yourself of these daily back and forths in the decision-making. How many of these micro-convictions do you surrender to versus how many are rejected? Jesus tells us the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And God gave us this counselor, the Holy Spirit, for us. He sent Him to guide us to influence our decisions. This is the voice we listen to over all other voices, or should. God knows there are a lot of other voices in our decision, in the world that are competing for our attention. That's a known fact. The Holy Spirit is the difference-making. He's the difference-maker in these decisions and the decision-making possibilities. Eliminating, if we listen, to the consequences of compromise. Now, I remember a few years ago, I was golfing with my brother. And if you've ever golfed, you know how frustrating this is. You just can't hit off the tee box. Your driver is just worthless. So if you can imagine, I was frustrated because I'm not competitive at all. So my brother, after a couple shanks on my part, he decided he was going to help me out with some instruction on the tee box. So I slice another one. And he goes, you know, so-and-so does blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to tell you because it's so ridiculous. You might try that. I just ignored him. But on the next tee box, before I hit, he decides he's going to remind me of his great idea. I replied this time, shut up. I have enough voices in my head already. I don't need yours in there too. And I share that because isn't that so true? There are a lot of voices in our lives on any given topic. The challenge for us is to knowing which one of these voices we're going to listen to. And there is a great need to know the voice of God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to tune in and be prepared to hear what He says. That same Holy Spirit that the disciples had their first encounter with at Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that we have access to today, right now. Will we be led in truth? Let me put it this way. No, we will be led in truth when we observe the disciplines of listening and listening to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to stop talking and listen. The Spirit will not overtalk you. You must stop and listen, then He will speak. In John 14:26, it says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and He will remind you of everything I have said to you. Yeah! How encouraging. We are not alone in this. So I asked today, are you a little discombobulated right now? I think we all are to varying degrees. Or maybe you're a bit unsure about the Holy Spirit today. I just want to let you know that God equips us and He encourages us because He is with us and He is for us. A little stern reminder in Philippians 2:12-13. It says, continue, not to the left or the right, it says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Amen? There are not many prayers, if any, that are more valuable than the prayer for wisdom and understanding. To pray for the discernment and the unveiling of the Holy Spirit's voice, so we will know His voice. When it comes to prayer and praying for these things, I'm reminded of Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. For we all have the need for a more focus on God and living in a more active relationship with Him. We will capture a greater understanding of the magnitude of His holiness, the damning nature of sin, and the depth of His grace. The closer we get to Him, the better equipped we will be to resist the temptation to compromise. Amen. Thank you. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father. I know he's pleased with us. If you'll bow your heads and just pray with me as we close. Gracious Father, we thank you for the message we received today. We thank you for the guidance through it, Lord. And we ask that you would show us in our own lives, each one of us individually, where you want us to work next, where we need to focus on you more, and how we can stand fast in our faith more today. And we know there is a need more now than ever. Father, we just give you the praise, for you are good and you are faithful, and we just press in you today into your mercy and grace, Father, that you be with us in this upcoming week. And Lord, that you just reveal to us in this upcoming week these things that you want for us. We give you the praise today. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for those who have showed up today, and we pray a blessing over those who could not make it, and we pray that you're with them through this upcoming week as well. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.